Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are. Good morning. This is Thursday, January 21st. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey.
I'm just reminding everybody that indeed they're listening to this show. They just heard the introduction for. So we try to match the shows to the intros. So
I love it. It's really cute. It's so upbeat. You just want to dance.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to have a celebrity guest calling in a few minutes. And did you get to go over information?
I did.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I think I've had her on the show before. I don't
remember. Oh, really?
Cool. But it sounds familiar. So, yeah. So we'll talk to her in a few minutes, Joan Steiger. And you may recognize the name. I don't know. But this is like from generations ago. Rod Steiger was a very big actor, and she was married to him. So we're going to hear some about that. And then she's had her own career.
Yeah, she's an accomplished actress herself.
Definitely. And got a book. And so she's publishing a book, and we're going to talk about that. So, blah, blah, blah. I'm a little extra nasally this morning because I can't breathe, man. And no matter how many times I blew my nose, it just doesn't work.
Oh, my gosh. So, Have you tried those saltwater things?
No. What is it?
It's like this. I'll have to get the name for you. But it's this, you know, bottle, and you just, like, squirt salt water up there.
Really?
Up your nose. Yeah. And it apparently, like, clears it out.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Salt water, like saline and stuff?
I think so.
Yeah. So I think I've used that before. It's like instead of the traditional nose drops or nose sprays, because those those just ruin your nose, you know, because the thing is the more you use it, the more you need to use it.
Right. It's kind of addicting.
Yeah. Because it just when it's done working, you're more congested than you were before.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I didn't use those, but I've got to use something, man, because
this is all natural, like, though.
Yeah, so I know, but it doesn't work very well either.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've tried that, yeah.
Screw the natural stuff.
Exactly.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, go with the artificial stuff that's going to kill you, you know?
Right.
At least funny. You'll be decongested when you die.
Right. And happy, hopefully.
Yeah. Wow. So I never did find out what happened to the slot guru yesterday.
Oh, really?
Emailed them, and they're like, oh, you must be frustrated. I'm like, duh, you know. So, but I never got an explanation. So
how weird.
There you are, yeah.
Very weird.
But we have a lot of great upcoming guests next week and the week after and stuff. Several studio guests, and it's going to be interesting. A lot of great people. And I always love meeting new people on the show. You know?
Me too.
Isn't it cool, though?
Yes. I love when they come in studio. It's great to have phone guests, too, but it's fun for them to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And that's why I always try to talk them into coming here, but they're not always in town.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Some people don't want to make the drive. I think Joan is actually in town, but some people don't want to make the drive. I don't blame them. You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, finally, a clear, pretty day here in L.A.
I know. Can you believe it?
I never thought I'd say that, but wow.
Yeah, it's been rainy and cloudy the past few days.
You know, it's crazy. There's been breaking news in my hometown of Hondo, Texas.
What's that?
Yeah, it's been kind of breaking on KSAT 12. There was like a standoff that shut down Highway 90 and where Highway 90 and 73 intersect right there, and which is like the main you know, highway through town. And it was some sort of standoff, apparently. And
really?
I think two women were killed, and there was a suspect in custody. And, oh, yeah. Wow. Bad deal. Nothing like that ever happens down there.
So right.
It was big news this morning.
Yeah, wow. Anybody that you know involved
They
in
haven't
that?
Released names.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
I hope you don't know anybody.
I hope not. I probably know of them if I don't know them, because we all know each other in some form or fashion.
All live in a little box in a small town.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine living in such a small town, although it sounds fun sometimes, but I guess it can get old after a while.
You'd get bored, probably.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? Yeah. So, not much happening in the news today. I picked up a few things here, but I saw a video of you yesterday. I didn't hear it. The audio was not on, but you were singing something.
Oh, yeah.
Was that true in front of a microphone or something? Tell me about that. That sounds interesting.
Well, I do dubbing for a soap opera, a Spanish soap opera. Actually, it's Venezuelan, I believe. And what that essentially means is I say the corresponding English words to the Spanish dialogue. So,
right.
You know, that
and you have one character that you speak
right,
for.
Right, right, yes. I play Shelley in Piel Salvaje, which is really cool, and I'm excited. I can't wait till some of the English episodes come out. Man, I'm a little congested today, too.
Yeah.
And it plays in, apparently, like South Africa and... you know, some random places like that. They're really popular, the English versions of these soap operas. And it's just such a fun job because everything's really dramatic and, you know, over the top.
You get to voice act. That's pretty cool.
Right. And it's, you know, you're basically like on the cast of a soap opera. You're just like the English dubbing person. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, I do Yelly or Shelley in English. And yeah, it's really fun. So anyways, like every now and then I'll record a little something because I sing, so I'll do that before.
So you have a microphone.
Exactly.
Wow, very cool. I'm going to have to listen to that. My audio was off, so I just saw that. But yeah, I want to hear what you sing like.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool.
You
guys can find me on Instagram too, if you haven't already.
Yeah, there you go.
At Kelsey Bolin.
I sing too. I've always loved to sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I haven't sung in a long time, but I'm thinking of getting maybe a sound system here and after hours just blasting in it.
That'd be so great.
Singing, you know, yeah.
Oh my gosh, what do you like to sing?
Like rock music and stuff, you know, some pop.
Yeah.
But I used to write songs when I was young too, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I played the guitar, but I haven't in a long time.
Yeah.
So now my son's sort of like taking after me, doing 20 times better than I ever did.
Oh, gosh.
He shreds that guitar, let me tell you. He knows.
That's so cool.
I know. And so this is cool. I'm going to miss him because he just went back to school up north.
Oh, where does he go?
San Francisco State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in San Francisco. And he was down here for the holiday vacation and just had to go back. But he's doing incredibly well, you know. He's going into biochemistry, and he says, man, it's hard, you know.
Oh, that is really hard.
Yeah, and I don't know where he got the idea. I still haven't asked him where he got that idea, but that's what he's doing. And then before he left, he got this big tattoo.
Oh, you're kidding.
a second big tattoo on his arm. And I'm like... You know, what the heck? You know, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, that's so funny. And it's a little conflicting. You wouldn't think that a biochemistry major would be into getting tattoos.
Yeah, you never know. But he's 22 years old or 23. And he's, I mean, you can't tell them what to do with their body, you know.
Right.
Well, you can just tell them what you think, but they don't really care, you know.
Exactly.
You just go along with it, go through with it.
Well, what was the tattoo of?
He's got like a woman or a girl that's singing to a microphone.
Oh, cool.
It looks pretty nice, you know, but he's like, yeah, I'm going to get a sleeve. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
That's a little too freaking much, man.
Yeah.
But that's what he's got in his mind. What am I going to do, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, the guys, it's like a lot of them do it for the girls, you know, to attract the girls and stuff.
Well.
Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, men do crazy things.
Yes, they do.
They do. Anything for the girl. All right. Well, here's our guest, so I'm going to pick it up now. And we have Joan Steiger on the phone, right, Joan? Joan?
Oh,
it's muted.
Joan? Oh, no.
Hello.
Yes, Joan, how are you doing? The call was muted here. I'm so sorry. But you heard us, so we introduced you a few minutes ago. And we thank you for calling into the show. You're in L.A., right?
Yes, Yes. Where am I calling to?
Oh, you're calling to LA Talk Radio. The show is Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, and we're here to talk to you. We're glad to have you on the show.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Yes. So, Joan, a little bit about yourself. You've been in entertainment most of your life, all your life?
Yes, since I was 15.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Wow, so you were a child actress.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. I was always grown up.
Oh, wow. What was the first show that you were on? Was that a film?
First show was the Steve Allen show. I was on that for a year, Sunday night show.
Oh, really? What did you do there? Were you like the co-host or something?
I started out as the, it was sponsored by Hazel Bishop Cosmetics, which at the time was like Revlon.
Oh.
And I did all the commercials live for an hour Sunday night show. Uh-huh. And then I graduated also to doing skits on Steve Allen show.
How fun.
Nice. So you were funny as well? You were doing skits and stuff?
Well, I've done most of my life. I've worked with comedy.
Oh, how cool. So that's very fun, a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Have you lived in L.A. all your life?
No, I was born in Brooklyn. I'm just, as a matter of fact, this week getting my book out to the publishers called Brooklyn Baby.
Yes.
It'll be published in March about the story of my life. My three husbands, they were all in show business, writer, directors, actors, stars.
Right. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So what age did you first get married? Were you pretty young?
When I first got married, I eloped when I was just 18.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, what did your family say?
Pardon? Well, my father had passed away, and my poor mother. It's only in later years that I thought about how terrible my mother must have felt.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. My family keeps telling me I need to get busy.
But I've had the most incredible, exciting life. I've been all over the world several times. I've been everything: Kentucky Derbies, Academy Awards. When I was in my teens, I dated at West Point. I've just had an incredible life that I'm still living, still dancing.
Now, people would probably wonder, how do you get as close as you did to a movie star, and then settle down with them? I mean, you know, it sounds pretty difficult.
Well, but
right?
I didn't settle down. All my the men I married were all writers, directors, actors, and all in the business. And I never settled down, so to speak, because I worked all the time.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, and my husband's worked, and when I wasn't working, I'd go to the set with my husband's. I was with my husband's. All of them every single day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very exciting. It's all in my book.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you definitely have at least one book in you, if not more. And, you know, with such an exciting, full life. The book is Brooklyn Baby.
Brooklyn Baby.
Right. Uh-huh. At what age did you move to Hollywood?
Pardon me?
At what age did you move to Hollywood?
Oh, well, I was, middle-aged. My husband was selected by Richard Rodgers to star in The Sound of Music on Broadway and took over, and then we traveled 3 years with the show, and we bought his agent's manager in up the Sunset Plaza Hills, and we lived there for 30 years, and my husband passed away of cancer. And without telling too much of my book, I had also worked with Rod Steiger when I was in New York. When I started acting, I met all of these men at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Married them all.
Right.
And so,
not at the same time, though.
So we settled in Sunset Plaza Hills, and had a beautiful home overlooking the whole city. And then after, I produced a show, Leona Helmsley. Oh. And then I got together with Rod Steiger. And anyway, I'm living in Malibu and had been living in Malibu for 15 years.
Wow. Well, you sure know how to live, let me tell you. So,
yeah,
so
well, it's all about positive thinking.
That's
really
so true.
Have you always had that sort of like?
Always.
Really?
I was born with it.
Wow.
I was born with a smile.
So you're very fortunate in that way. Not everybody can say that.
Right.
Yeah.
But believe me, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, I just know people, I'll say, oh my gosh, I'm just looking out the window now. It's just beautiful sunny day. And I always say, oh, what a gorgeous day. And then the negative right. thinker, oh yes, but you know, it's going to rain later in the cloud. I don't have time for all that negative.
Good deal. So when you say you started acting early on, you were doing this back in New York still, right?
Yes, but I've had all kinds of I've had the best teachers. I've been members of four acting companies. Teaching and training is everything. I've done over 40 stage plays.
Mm.
I can't believe I've done all this.
Wow, very nice. So you have a body of work, and it's cool, you know. I mean, the thing is you can look back and say, look at all that I've accomplished, you know. And a book usually is a nice way to present everything.
Yes, so I think if people will enjoy it, so be sure and buy it. You'll be able to order it on Amazon after it comes out.
Sounds good. Do you have a website or social networks where people
can get Joan Steiger, Joan Benedict Steiger.
Okay, and people can find you, what, on Facebook and stuff?
No, I don't do Facebook.
Oh, which one do you do?
I just have a website and a PR agent.
Oh, okay. Great. So check
anybody
out the website.
Anybody that doesn't have a PR agent in this business, forget it.
Yeah, but no, it helps. So the book of memoirs of Joan Steiger is Brooklyn Baby, A Hollywood Insider's Amazing Journey Through Love, Loss, and Laughter.
Right.
Yeah, so you've seen it all. You've been there.
And I don't think I've done it all. I hope not.
Yeah. Do you still dabble a little bit in film and TV and things like that? Theater?
I'm going to be doing two films in March.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And April. Uh-huh.
Can you tell us about them, or is it too soon?
Well, I can't tell you about too much. Yeah.
Okay.
One of them is a wonderful movie called Wind of Heaven.
Uh-huh.
That sounds great.
Interesting. Yeah, sounds good.
Do you go back to Brooklyn very often?
No, I went back, the last time Rod and I drove around, we drove around, we went to New Jersey, and he showed me his childhood home.
Aww.
And I took him to mine.
That's
in
so
Brooklyn.
Cool.
I was born in the Park Slope section of Brooklyn. I don't know whether you're familiar with Brooklyn.
I'm not, no.
No, we're not.
It's a very gorgeous place. It's sort of like Upper Fifth Avenue of New York.
It's nice.
Beautiful. It's by, they call it Park Slope, by Prospect Park. And there are a whole lot of big mansions and stuff along there. I lived with my grandfather's beautiful home.
Aww,
sounds
nice.
Good. Well, you've had quite a journey, Joan, and we appreciate you sharing some of this stuff with us.
Thanks so much.
The autobiography, again, is Brooklyn Baby, set for release in spring. So you said in March, right?
Yes, about March. Okay. The latest April, but they said March.
Great.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, how long did it take you to put this together?
A year and a half,
wow. And
it's a big job.
It is a big job, tall order.
And you have to be blessed with good memory, too, right, to be able to recount a lot of
this
stuff.
Yes, well, I'll
tell
you, it's a very interesting thing. I've just been reliving my life every day for a year and a half. It's good and it's bad. I mean, I've just had sleepless nights because every night I wake up, oh, I forgot about this.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Make a note about that. And reliving everything. But reliving it all is just... I can't believe I did all this.
Yeah.
And where did I don't know.
Wow, good for you. Great.
But what's so incredibly wonderful is that I feel fabulous, and I dance. I'm a tap dancer. So.
Oh, wow.
I've tap danced since I was 7 years old. So,
wow,
I mean,
I
love
tap dancing.
Fabulous tap dancer.
Wow.
And in Malibu, we have a wonderful class, all professional girls that have all been rockettes and, you know, movie dancers. And so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds fun. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I look like a dying fish when I try to tap dance. Oh, my gosh.
Tap dancing is a lot of fun. It's definitely not as popular as it used to be, but it's
No, that's the thing. We just treasure our teacher, of course, choreographed in films and stuff, but there are no good tap teachers. They're only teaching, beginning tap, and very few because, there's not too much tap dancing even in the shows.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. All right, yeah. Well, Joan Benedict Steiger, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It was my pleasure, and you have a lovely day.
You do,
you
too.
Too.
Thank you, and much success with your book.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's cool to write a book, you know, and I mean... I don't know that I could, you know. I mean, I love reading, and I'm very good at writing. I enjoy writing, but when it's a book, it's like you don't know. It's like it's a long term thing, you know.
I'm
a short distance sprinter, you know.
It's a commitment for sure.
It really is, you know, and you don't know how it's going to end up, and you know, so. So it's a big chance to take, to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write a book, you know.
It is. It is. I really admire those who do, though.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. One day I'll probably write one.
Yeah, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, as soon as you accomplish more in your life, you know. So far, you're still very young, you know.
Right, and have more to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
But she sounds really great.
Yeah.
So sweet. And, oh, I'm so jealous of her being in Malibu at the moment.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice here, though, too.
Some people know how to live, let me tell you, huh?
They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Wow.
We actually got to do our shoot yesterday because it cleared out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, yeah. And
where
so
did
we were,
you do it yesterday? Dana Point, where you're supposed to be?
No, we actually shot in Bel Air at a friend's house in Bel Air. And so it's you can see the ocean way far out there, and it's really pretty.
You seem like you have friends in all the high places. I don't know. You know, I mean, a friend with an Oscar and a friend with a house in Bel Air, my God.
We do. We have lots of friends.
Well, you know how to live, let me tell you. You know, you grabbed LA by the balls pretty much.
Try to. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to a hangar. I'm hosting, actually, a hangar party tonight. You know, where they...
Really?
Like an airplane hangar?
Yeah.
It's...
What is it, like a rave or something?
No.
That's what they usually do at hangars.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
No, I think it's like a dinner. I don't know. I'm just a hired help. But I'm, kind of emceeing it. And, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think they have dinner and...
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it's interesting because... I was on a show for a while called Samira Show, and it's on LA 18. And it's really fun, just like a little morning talk show. Or actually, I think it might... No, it was evening, late evening talk show. It wasn't live. And so, you know, it's funny because you kind of develop this circle of friends, and they go to all the same events and go to the show and everything. So I'm kind of excited to see everybody tonight. It's been a while.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
And what airport is it in? Like Santa Monica or something?
Van Nuys, I believe.
Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Van Nuys.
Nice.
Yeah. It'll be fun, I hope.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I mean, there's a key to exciting work, you know? I mean, you come to L.A., you follow... Kelsey's steps, and you'll do a lot of different things.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you make so many sacrifices, but when you realize that you have done it for all the right reasons and you love what you're doing, then it's been totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and also, I never really even considered doing anything I didn't like.
Yeah.
And growing up, everybody told me, oh, be this, be that. They make a lot of money. They do. And I just never even thought of it like that. And now, you know, I get a taste of working a real job.
Yeah.
or see other people that have to work real jobs. And I mean, I feel for them if they don't like it. And most of them don't.
Yeah.
So looking back, I'm really happy I took a stand and made the decisions I did.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
because to live the life I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Because many parents will tell you, well, get a real job.
Right.
And, you know, go to school, do this, do that. And, you know, I mean, I know that when I was a kid and I had to do, like, I would go and work with my dad on school breaks or something, or have to do whatever. And I would, so my mom would always tell me, well, you're not supposed to enjoy it. It's work, you know. But and then ever since then, it's like, okay, so you're not supposed to really enjoy work, you know. Right. But that's not the case at all. You know, you can find things that you enjoy. In fact, you should. Mm-hmm. So you have a reason to get up in the morning, you know.
Right. So that ultimately, you know, leads to you not enjoying your life. I mean, work is such a big part of your life. If you
exactly,
you know, if you don't enjoy it, then it just takes a lot away. And I liked what our career expert guest said a few weeks back, that you have to be proud of how you spend your time.
Yeah.
And I think that that really resonated with me. I think that that is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're not wasting your time, I guess.
Right. But you know what? It's hard because a lot of times it's more complicated. And, you know, had I had a child or something like that, I might be in a different position because I would have had to have provided a steady income for them. So, you know, you can't judge every situation the same way. But
yeah, take advantage of when you're young, you know, to build your career. Because once the kids come into play here, your whole life changes forever immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're not ready for a big change in your life, don't have kids.
Yeah.
Some people don't understand it until they actually have the kid and they realize, oh, gee, I can't socialize like I used to anymore. I can't just travel easily. I can't do this. I can't do that.
You know? Right.
So, but, so that's why I'm saying when you finally have a kid, you should be able to embrace it and be available.
Yeah.
You know, emotionally available and everything for the kid. And if you can't, don't have any.
Right.
You know, but some people want to have both worlds and the kids suffer, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So a few things in the news. This one is nice. I guess the Buffalo Bills, the NFL team, have hired a woman as an assistant coach.
Oh, really?
And I guess that's the first time a full-time female is a coach on the NFL. So that's pretty cool. You know, they're saying that there's stuff on, I mean, there are women in the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball, but apparently this is like a big deal.
That is so cool. I think it's great.
I know.
Great.
I'm wondering if guys would have trouble taking directions from a woman, you know? All these, like, macho guys.
Let's not pretend. Everyone does it at home.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
So it's not much different.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. On another note. Did you hear that Sarah Palin blamed Obama's lack of leadership for her son's domestic violence arrest?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that not bizarre?
So he was actually arrested, her son?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, Obama can be blamed for a lot of things, but come on, that is one.
Yeah, I know.
I think
like, yeah, but let's blame it for everything, right?
My goodness, that is just insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy how different people's lives are behind closed doors than you think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I know. You don't know anything about people.
I know, and then things like this come out and, you know, you're like, wow.
Yeah, I know. Nobody's immune, you know.
No, and on the whole domestic violence issue. I mean, I remember when the whole thing happened with Rihanna and Chris Brown.
Uh-huh.
no one could believe it because they're thinking, oh, you know, this star, like, why would she be with someone who abuses her? Surely she has high confidence and everything. But they're just like everybody else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're the same as everybody else.
They're
no
people.
Different.
They're just known. That's the only difference.
Right.
Know? A lot of people know them.
Right.
But it doesn't mean, you know, and that's why sometimes we listen to celebrities talk and stuff. It's like, who cares, man? You're just playing somebody in a movie. Who cares about your opinion? You know, it doesn't qualify you as an expert in something, you know, like a Sean Penn or something, you know.
Oh, my gosh, I know. His interview with El Chapo.
Yeah.
Did you read about that?
Well, yeah, the whole thing and stuff, you know, it's pretty crazy that he went and interviewed him and stuff for it the is. Rolling Stone.
Well, what I thought was really funny, actually, is that El Chapo just was, like, really into the Spanish actress.
Right.
It was coordinating. He could have cared less about Sean Penn.
I know. So he wanted to be in a movie about himself, right? Because he's, like, jealous of Escobar, the other drug lord that was caught, and they made a movie on him.
I know. He's like, what about me, dude? I'm better than that guy.
So it's a big criminal who wants to be famous based on his acting. So that's pretty bizarre.
You know, it is bizarre. But what's even more crazy is that a lot of the Mexican people that I've talked to kind of view him as a hero.
Really?
Yes, which is insane. I mean, he's murdered so many people, but who knows?
He's a hero, huh?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. A lot of them do. Not everybody.
Where their
but.
Minds are. Wow. I don't know where their minds are at. But there's a lot of controversy about the Oscars. We'll revisit that in just a moment because apparently, so for those of you who have not been following, there have been several black actors, movie makers, filmmakers that have boycotted the Oscars because there's no diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that a little bit. And now a Fox News commentator is coming out, and she's an actress as well. Her name's Stacey Dash.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, I never heard of her, but she's an African-American.
Okay.
And she came out in, you know, against these people that are boycotting. And she says, look, you know, we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, we have to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black.
That is so true.
She says,
thank
if it
you.
Were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. And that's what a lot of people have been saying for many years. She said there shouldn't be a Black History Month. We're Americans, period. And that's what a lot of people have been saying.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree more.
Right. I mean, we've been saying similar things and stuff. And somebody on the other side is speaking up as well and being rational about how things are.
Right. It's kind of common sense.
It is, you know. I mean, as long as you're being selective based on race, I don't care what race it is.
It's
racist.
You're being racist. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and that's what I've been saying. I mean, of all people, Spike Lee, who makes all black movies without a white person in it, is boycotting for lack of diversity.
I know. Come on.
Call me crazy, but I don't understand that. You know?
No, I think we should call him crazy.
Right. So, yeah, so we'll see. And then they're putting other people on the spot, calling Chris Rock to resign or to step down. And this is, like, bizarre, you know. So I don't know. I know in the past there's been many black people in movies that have won awards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I guess the Academy feels they deserve it, they give it.
Right.
So it's bullshit, you know. So a year or two, nobody made it. Maybe there weren't any great films or any great performances. I don't know.
Right.
You know, maybe not a lot of films are being made by black people. Well, you know, I don't think they're being held back by anybody, you know. So So this is the point. This is how we need to bridge the gap rather than make accusations all the time and just blame everybody for everything. And we don't get any closer to healing, you know?
So true.
Yeah. So
it's really well said.
Yeah. So kudos to her, you know, and she says that this outrage over the Oscars is ludicrous, and you know, and people should just, you know, I mean, yeah, she's like, she's totally like thinking about this before she speaks, you know, and she says, and that's what, you know, I've been saying all along, you know, is if you're going to have like separate black shows, or like you mentioned that Blackish show the other day and stuff. And yeah, if they decide to do this, that adds more to segregation than anything else. You know,
movies, big time.
Shows should be based on talent and the story and not on race, you know.
Right.
And either way, you know, it doesn't matter if it's white and black or black and white, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think eventually we'll make some big strides, you know, but
I think so. We just need a few more generations of
We do. People, that's the thing. Know? It wasn't very long ago.
Yeah.
If you think about it, in the course of history.
Right. Right. And people still believe that there's a lot of racism. I don't think so. I posted this great video yesterday, Is America Racist? And it's a not too long a video, about 3 minutes or so, by Larry Elder, who's a talk radio show host. He's also black. And he shows you how when Obama says racism is in America's DNA, that's a pretty big statement, you know. And so the video set out to show that it's not. You know, there's always going to be racism in every society, but it's not in our DNA. You know, it's not like something that everybody has and everybody feels. You know, it's just not true. And they showed you how it's not like that, you know. They're saying that, like, for example, you know, they claim that too many blacks are in jail and things like that. But he says, look, studies show that although blacks are 13% of the population here, they commit 50% of the crimes. So go figure, you know. I mean, the thing is, so that's why we see more of them as a percentage being arrested and stuff, you know, and jailed. So,
I mean, I get it, but what are you supposed to do? Look the other way?
Right.
I mean, if they commit a crime, they commit a crime.
Right. And that's it.
Just so like that's anybody else. Busted,
you know? But so nobody's saying that black people in general are more likely to be or more prone to be criminals. That's not the point. But the point is that the studies show, the facts show, the statistics show that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're committing 50% of the crimes, chances are a lot of you are going to be in jail. Right? So that there you go there. And yeah, and I want to open up a conversation, but nobody wants to touch this subject.
Really?
Nobody, no.
Mm.
Yeah, only a couple of Facebook friends actually gave their opinions. But
right.
Other than that, you know, I just presented it as like, here, watch the video. Let's talk about it.
Right.
Stuff. No, people are always better with like posts about accusations and blaming and
sure.
And saying this is racist and that is racist. But nobody's going to have a conversation about it.
You know? Mm-hmm. I know.
So that sucks, you know. And you're... I don't know. Most people, I don't think, notice racism the way that some people would have you believe, you know. So, yeah. Did you ever watch The Sopranos, or was that too far back for you?
I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
It's a very good show, you know. I mean, it ran for, what, 12 seasons or something? Or no, maybe 7, 8 seasons. An amazing show about the mafia.
Oh.
And, yeah, it was an HBO show. And with James Gandolfini, who died a couple of years ago. But apparently Jamie Lynn Sigler, who was an actress on the show, she was his daughter on the show, has multiple sclerosis.
Oh, no.
I mean, she's only like, how much? She's had it for 14 years. She's 34.
Oh, God.
She was diagnosed with a debilitating disease when she was 20,
but
didn't want to reveal it till now. So she feels now that she's got... she says, I don't feel so alone now that I've shared it and stuff, you know.
Good.
But apparently she has a 2-year-old son.
Oh.
And, Yeah, she don't want to hold a secret anymore. So
right.
And, you know, obviously when people admit things like this, they get a lot of support and everything. So,
right.
Yeah. But she's very beautiful. She's a great actress, too. And it's always sad to hear about things like that, you know.
It is sad.
And, you know, I mean, the thing is, we get sad when it happens to celebrities and stuff. But this stuff happens to people, obviously, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. People get sick. We don't hear about them. A lot of heroic stories out there of people battling cancer and, you know, other diseases and stuff. And but we only seem to notice it on the celebrities because they're the ones in the headlines.
That's so
they're
true.
The ones in the news.
Yeah.
But we can learn a lot from that because it really, like, shines a spotlight on the human condition, I think, where you can compare your life, you know, you can be encouraged by somebody who's got the same thing but they're pulling
right.
through.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about celebrity, I think, is you have the ability to really inspire people and affect change, which is right. pretty powerful.
Right. And just think about, you know, all these people that are celebrities, we put them on a pedestal, and these are just like normal people like you and me. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, they were unknowns just like you and me. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, they become somebody different, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me how this happens, you know? And you look at someone new. That wasn't like the girl, what's her name, in the Star Wars movie, the new girl. And she's, nobody knew about her before. Now
sure.
she's like huge.
Right.
You know? And it's like, so you go from nobody knowing you, from complete anonymity to suddenly becoming the star. You know, you don't really change who you are as a basic person.
Right.
You still go to the bathroom the same way.
Right.
You know? You still put on your clothes the same way.
Uh-huh.
So it's... So people, you know, we have to understand these are just people like us, you know. They don't count. Their opinion doesn't count for any more than ours. And, you know, it's all a result of people that are known, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're known, you have a lot of influence. There's no doubt about it. And we're in a culture of fame all the time. You
yes,
know?
Yes,
people want to be famous.
I know. It's so funny. Social media has really brought that to light.
It has, right?
Yes.
Because people become like mini celebrities, and at least in their own world, you know?
Right. And, you know, we have all these little Instagram stars and,
right.
you know, a video can go viral, and it's just, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. I know. And it's such an interesting time, you know, because, like, I saw a meme of, like, a bunch of kids having fun, like on a water slide or something.
Uh-huh.
And then a separate picture of three kids looking in their phones. And they're saying, you know, I mean, this is how we used to have fun or spend our time and stuff. And I'm just saying, you know what? I mean, kids just model adults, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We can't blame the kids for sitting in front of their phones all day because that's what we do.
I know. It's
right?
really, yeah, it's so funny you say that because when I was in Texas, we were driving back from one of the ranches and it was just so funny because age made absolutely no difference. Everybody was on their phone when
really?
I looked in the back seat. Yes,
yeah.
Everybody was on their phone. My mom, my cousin,
Whoa.
My sister. So anyways, it was just so funny to realize how life has changed.
Yeah, I know.
And now it's like we couldn't live without it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not having a GPS.
Yeah, huh? I
oh,
know.
Oh, my gosh. That, to me, would be the worst thing ever. Especially in a big city like this.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we used to use maps.
Yeah.
You know? They had the Thomas Guide map book.
I mean, I guess you would, you know, become accustomed to the situation, but
yeah. Yeah.
still.
It's like you have to have a map with you, and you go, okay, I take this freeway, I take this exit, this is where I go. Yeah, I mean, GPS is a pretty new thing. It's pretty new, you know?
But it is.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, the young generation was born into all this stuff. So you guys.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny. I was actually at a restaurant the other night and saw these two little kids just playing on an iPad while their parents were eating. And it's just become the norm now.
It really is. I mean, at a year old, they're already playing on the phone and stuff.
You know, I wonder, we were talking about, you know, the long-term effects of, you know, smoking marijuana and how when cigarettes were big, they didn't know the long-term effects of that until right. everyone started getting sick, and then they discovered it caused cancer and everything. I wonder what the long-term effects of, like, starting to use technology at a really early age
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm sure it has some.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not, I mean, emotional or psychological or maybe even visual. I'm sure it has some kind of effect long-term.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what? I do have to tell you, since you brought it up, that I was just reading that apparently they did discover that that if the onset of marijuana, if you start taking it early on in your life, it can affect your IQ.
Like, make it lower,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, okay. Make it lower. I feel mine is higher, but I don't know. What do I know, right? I should ask the people that know me. No, but I don't feel I lost any IQ points, but I can see how people can when your mind is still developing.
Right.
You know, and that's not a good thing to do. You're 15, 16 years old. You know, and what they're saying is if you want to deal with your kid, don't tell them don't do it, but tell them don't do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him that option of like, just realize that it's your choice. You know, don't do it because I tell you not to do it, but do it because you're not ready yet to do it.
Right.
You know, so that way it's not like prohibited where kids just have to do it.
Right, exactly. Right? Just because the parents say no, they're like, ha, watch me.
I know. So not all is good on the marijuana front, but hey, what do we know? And then on that note, folks, thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Joan Steiger, for enlightening us about Brooklyn and the entertainment industry and so forth. And that's it, Kelsey. Have a great
weekend. All right. You too.
We'll see you on Monday, actually, guys.
Yes, we will. We're taking the day off tomorrow.
Yes. So have a great weekend, folks, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.